Jimmy Clitheroe as the Clitheroe Kid with Peter Sinclair, Patricia Burke, Danny Ross and Diana Day in...
The Not So Good Old Days.
Oh, well, thank you, Alfie. This has really made my day. Thank you very much.
Ah, you're welcome, Mrs. Clitheroe. Only I knew the good old days was your favourite teleprogramme, so when my uncle told me about having extra tickets, I said, save two for Susan's mum and granddad, my girlfriend. No, not her granddad, my girlfriend, her. Susan, he said, I'll bring them all, Alfie. No, not all, Alfie, my name, the wrong way round, Alfie all. All the spare tickets, it'll be coming round soon.
You mean he's still unconscious after talking to you?
Will you and Alfie be going to Leeds to see the show, Susan?
Oh, yes, if there's enough tickets. How many did you say there were, Alfie?
Well, I'm not sure whether it was six or half a dozen, about. Anyway, he'll be here in a minute, my uncle. He only lives a few streets away. You might know him from his uniform.
Why? Is he a soldier?
No, a shunter. He works for British Railways.
Mum, has our new insurance man got a bald head and a funny moustache?
No, of course not.
Oh, it's all right, mister. You can come in.
All right. About time and all. Trying to make sense of this lad here, it's enough to drive a shunter up his bowl.
Oh, Mrs. Clitheroe, this is Mr. Ben. My uncle, the Battersea. No, the other way around. This is Mrs. Battersea, Uncle Ben. Clitheroe, I mean. Not Ben Clitheroe, Mrs.
Oh, well, he's off again. Alfie, why don't you think before you speak?
Because if he did, he'd never have anything to say.
Jimmy.
Alfie's been telling us about the good old days, Mr. Battersby.
What does he know about them? Too young to remember. Oh, yes, of course, Barney Cauldron's teleprogramme.
Yes, ma'am. Alfie's uncle told me all about it outside.
I had to. The only way I could get him to let me in.
You are naughty, Jimmy. You say the show's next week, Mr. Battersby.
Well, that's right, and a right good show it'll be and all. I don't know who's in it, mind, but it'll all be in the Radio Times this weekend. You take the Radio Times?
We take anything as long as it's wrapped round some fish and chips.
Say, shut up. How many tickets have you brought, Uncle?
Six. Look, Mum, I've got them here.
What? Oh, Mother, take them off him while he's still got them. You know how good he is at losing things.
I'm not that good. I've been trying to lose you for years.
Oh, you be cheeky.
That's all right. He can give them to me and I'll look after them. Well, thanks for calling, Uncle Ben. No, not for calling Uncle Ben. For calling Uncle Ben.
I hope. Thank you very much, Mr. Battersby.
Oh, you're welcome. Oh, before I forget, I'm afraid you'll have to make your own way there.
Oh, you mean to the theatre, the City Varieties in Leeds?
That's right. There would have been seats for you in the motor coach, but when these six people cried off, we booked a minibus to save money.
Oh, we'll make our own arrangements for getting there.
What? We're going to look daft, five of us on Alfie's motorbike.
Oh, be quiet, you. Mr. Battersby, are you going on the coach?
Oh, aye. Why do you ask?
Well, with you working on the railway, I thought you might be going by train.
Not likely. I want to get there on time. Cheerio, everybody.
Cheerio.
Bye now.
Cheerio, Uncle Batty. Yeah, Benny. Hey, I've just been thinking we've got one ticket going spare.
Aye, and I've just been thinking. Aren't we supposed to wear old-fashioned costumes for the show?
Oh, I know where we can hire those.
Still, I think I know what Father means. The cost of hiring the costumes, plus the cost of travelling there, it might be too expensive, just for one night out.
Wait a minute, I've got it. Grandad, is there a bar there?
Aye, I believe so.
Then I know somebody who'll take us for nothing. Mr. Higginbottom in his taxi.
Well, we have got a spare ticket he could have.
Oh, well, it's worth a try. I'll have a word with Higgy Pat.
Oh, yes, I'd love to go. Do you know, I was reading only the other day, there's a 2-year waiting list for tickets for the good old days. So just you see that ours don't get lost, no, Alfie.
Don't worry, Mrs. Clitheroe. Just leave the tickets to me. I'll see they don't get lost. Hello, Goodyard. Mr. Uncle Battersby, please. Oh, it is you. You what? I'm at the fish train on the down line.
Yes, you're Alfie Codzed.
Yes, I'm Alfie Codzed. No, not you, Uncle Ben. Listen, you know them six tickets you gave me this morning for the good old days? Well, I've lost them. Ooh, Uncle, mind your language. Look, Uncle, can you suggest what I should do? Yeah, well, I mean, apart from that. Yes. 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 No. Yes. Yes. Right. Ta-da, Uncle. Honestly, I'm a fool.
Yes.
See, shut up. Now, why didn't I think of that? The answer's dead simple.
Like you.
Yes. See, I'll talk to you in a minute. My uncle said there's bound to be seats at the show for all the tickets that were issued, so when they get there in the courts, they'll tell the commissionaire about us.
Why? What have we done?
Nothing. No, they'll tell them about us losing the tickets. When everybody else has gone in, there'll still be six empty seats, so we can have them, even though we haven't got the tickets. He said I could have thought of that myself if I'd been using my brains. Hey, I'm glad he didn't ask me how I lost them.
Perhaps you never had them in the first place. Are you sure you were born with them?
Born with them? I was given them by me uncle, but the tickets, not me brains. Well, it was all your fault we lost them.
It wasn't. I just took them out of your pocket so I could count them.
Yeah, well, we were doing 40 miles an hour on me motorbike. No wonder the wind blew them away and we couldn't find them.
Yeah, well, don't say anything to me, Grandad, or they won't be able to find your teeth.
Oh, I'm not going to say anything. I'll just pretend I've got the tickets. Well, once a day, it'll be all right. Hey, we'd better buy a copy of the Radio Times and check when it's on.
Hurry up and lock your taxi, Higgy. We're supposed to be at the theatre an hour before the show starts. And that's 5 minutes ago.
I would have been here half an hour ago if I hadn't had to keep stopping the taxi every 5 minutes for this grandson of yours.
Don't blame me. Alfie bought me the bottle of lemonade.
He didn't tell you to shake the bottle up and squirt it all over the taxi.
I was trying to get it fizzy. And then me grandad moved and I sat on his claymore.
Yes, Father, do you really have to wear that sword?
It's part of my costume.
Yeah, all the Highland clans wore them claymores when they were fighting. Well, that's how you could tell they were Scotch, by the claymores and the bagpipes and kilts. They used to charge into battle, waving them round their heads, yelling, not the kilts, the bagpipes, the claymores, I mean.
Oh, yes, Alfie, yes, all right, we're in a hurry. You say the entrance is just round the corner, Father?
Yes, come on. If we're too late, they might not let us in.
Don't worry. If there's any trouble, my grandad will go charging in there, waving his kilt round his head and clouting him with his bagpipes.
All right, that's enough from you.
Quite right. You're supposed to be a page boy. Why don't you go and deliver a message to somebody in Australia?
Why? Have you got some relations hopping about over there? Living there, I mean.
Pete, would you lend me that claymore for a minute?
No, come on. Let's get into the theatre. It's cold in these thin costumes.
Yes, you must be feeling the draught, Mr. Higginbottom, in them knee breeches. What are you supposed to be, a ballet dancer?
I'm a coachman.
Yeah, you remember that, like in Cinderella, when they made the coach out of a pumpkin and the horses out of white mice, that they had a coachman who drove it, like Mr. Higginbottom.
Oh, yes, he was a rat.
I'll give you such a belt in a minute.
They made him out of a rat with magic. The fairy godmother, I mean. Look, it wasn't my fault, Grandad. It was Alfie.
Get to bed. I won't tell you again.
I wouldn't send him to bed. I'd knock him to sleep here. And I'd use Alfie to hit him with.
Look, Father, we've had it all the way home. Can we let it drop?
Yes, we're all fed up at not seeing the show, but talking won't help.
Oh, look, I've said I'm sorry, Mr. Sinclair. But my uncle said it didn't matter about the tickets, so that's why I didn't tell you, because I thought we'd be all right when we got there and I couldn't lose my teeth. Yeah, you wouldn't knock them out. You'd be a bit cross for me.
Yes, he said it'd be all right, and he looked in the Radio Times and said, it's on a Wednesday night, Jimmy, at 9:05. So if we're there at 8:05 on Wednesday night, we're laughing. And we've cried all the way home.
I didn't know they recorded the show on a Sunday.
Turning up 3 days late. No wonder the fella at the pay box thought we were all crackers.
Not all of us. He was only talking to you and me, Grandad.
Shut up and get to bed. It's 10:30.
Is he really? Doesn't time fly when you're enjoying yourself?
Oh,
didn't tell Pete. Not my fault. The good old days. It's not mine.
It's all your fault, Jimmy Clitheroe. You lost the railway tickets and all the stars who were performing on the good old days are stranded on Crewe Station. No tickets. I told them they should have gone by bus.
Well, it was Alfie to blame. They fell out of his pockets when I was giving him a lift on me roller skates.
All I know is there'll be no good old days tonight.
Yes, there will. We'll do the show for you. You go and watch your telly and you'll see the best programme there's ever been. The Clitheroe Concert Party. Introduced by the greatest star of them all, Jim.
Well, it had better be good. You and Alfie will be riding your roller skates round the wall of death.
Gentlemen, good evening and welcome to the good old days. Where we have for you an enormous a fantastic, fantabulous cast of thousands. Hooray! Well, three or four. Gathered from the four corners of the Labour Exchange. I am your chairman for the evening, James Gavel Basher Clitheroe.
Shook him off!
As you can see, we have a densely packed audience. In fact, it's the densest audience you'll ever see. Back! Get back there, you mutinous dogs! Back, I say, or I'll throw you to the musicians. Waiting in the wings to entertain you is our first artist, who has come all the way from Scotland on a platform ticket. The man who invented the fur-lined kilt and wrote that song, Stop Your Tickling Jock. Here is, I give you, Scotland's revenge for Bannockburn. The cock of the north, Grandad Sinclair.
Hello, folks, back again with my kiltie still swinging in the breeze. Well, are we all merry and bright tonight?
Yeah!
The children can't hear you. Are we all merry and bright tonight?
Yeah!
That's the idea. Well, stay that way now. And now, Mr. Chairman, a toast to you and your wonderful audience from the heather hills of Bonnie Scotland. Here's to you and yours, no forgetting ours and ours. And ours are sending a wee invitation to you and yours to come up sometime to Scotland to meet ours and ours. And when ours and ours meet you and ours will ask you and yours to sit down and take a nice wee drink with ours and ours. And as long as you and yours are willing to pay for the drinks, ours and ours will drink to yours and yours.
A little ode to a lonely Scottish soldier. A Scottish lad was lying in a hospital out east. The doctor came and saw him. He said, I'm sorry, Jock. Your chances are the least. I've one request, the Scottish said, before I pass away. If only just once again I could hear the Scottish bagpipes play. The town was searched, a piper found, and brought without delay. And round that hospital he marched those stirring Scottish tunes to play. Macalister's face lit up with joy. I'm better now, he cried. The bagpipe saved that Scotsman's life, but the rest of the patients died.
When the sun begins to shine at 4 or 5 or 6 o'clock in the good old summer time. But when the snow is snowing and it's murky overhead, oh, it's
nice to get up in the morning, but it's nicer to lie in your bed. Oh, it's nice to get up in the morning when the sun begins to shine. At 4 or 5 or 6 o'clock in the good old summer time. But when the snow is snowing and it's murky overhead, oh, it's nice. But it's nice to lie in your bed.
There was a young lady from Hyde who ate a green apple and died. The apple fermented inside the lamented and made cider inside her inside.
Come on, hurry up and introduce me.
That was the voice of our next artist, so if you want to leave, now's the time.
I've come down and wrapped that gum around your neck.
No, folks, that was not the voice of Noel Coward. It was the father of Ozzy the Coward. Hog on, Fred! Ladies and gentlemen, into each life some rain must fall. So here's the big drip himself. That long, lanky lamppost on legs. Horatio Higginbottom!
How often have you done a thing, regretted it and said, I'll never do a thing like that again. Once I was young and innocent, a simple life I led, but I don't think that I ever shall again. I met a lovely creature and before I could say knife, she whisked me off to church and in a tick she was my wife. I said I will to little word, but it lasted all my life, and I'll never do a thing like that again. I once went in for wrestling to earn an honest pound, I'll never do a thing like that again. They put me up against the champ, it didn't last a round, I'll never do a thing like that again. He started with an arm lock and the crowd began to cheer, and then a body scissors, and oh, I did feel queer. But he stayed till 10 o'clock that night to help me find the ear, and I'll never fuck another like that again. Now Father, he got worried and he thought he'd signed the pledge, he'll never do a thing like that again. He hadn't had the DTs, but he was very near the edge. He'll never do a thing like that again. Of course he soon got thirsty and mother gave a grin. He dashed into the kitchen, drank some water from a tin, and he found it was the water that I kept me tiddlers in. And he'll never do a thing like that again. Not blooming likely, he'll never do a thing like that.
Next week, by popular demand, Mr. Higginbottom is appearing at the Old Bailey. Charged with breaking and entering a piano. His wife dropped it on his head. Talking of ladies brings me to our next act. Two ladies. Well, one and me sister. I'm going to sing to you. I have a sister. Her name is Sue. She had so many wrinkles she didn't know what to do. So they lifted her face to remove every crack. When they saw what was under, they put it all back. Ladies and gentlemen, here to dazzle, delight and deafen you with those swinging songsters, Ma'am and Susan Clitheroe.
Brothers and heart before.
Girls in blue.
They had broken no one's heart before.
They were sisters and we were brothers. An island of love, the two.
They had never been in love before.
A little girl in blue, lad. When your father's horse became your mother, I married the other.
Except for my sister. I've just had a request from a party of 40. It's that fat lady in the corner. She has asked me to belt up. But instead, I'm going to give you a few of my famous impressions. Thank you for those kind boons. Let me take you down on the farm. First of all, we meet Farmer Giles. Arr, I that be a hate of my around here. Heard of I heard of my turning to a high. Or it out with him with mangled wurzels. He's rounding up his eight sheep. Ba, 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 ba. As you notice, three of them were silent. They were having a few bars rest. As the farmer opens the gate, pounding into the field with a basket between her teeth comes Lassie, his faithful old wife. Followed by Rover the dog. Roof, roof, roof. In the distance, we hear Claribel, the cow. Being milked by a man with cold hands. And overhead, the sound of a bird. Ooh, cock. It is a cuckoo flying backwards. And as the sun drops behind the cowshed, Farmer Giles looks up and says, "What were you doing on that cowshed, son?" Thank you. Thank you. And now to finish off the entertainment, and I do mean finish off, we bring you a breath of old Oldham. Playing the ukulele with his feet and singing through his nose, that toe-tapping twit, Alfie Hall.
Every year when summer comes round, off to the sea I go. I don't care if I do spend a pound, I'm rather rash, I know. See me dressed like all the sports, in me blazer and a pair of shorts, with me little stick of black old rock. Along the promenade I stroll. It may be sticky, but I'll never complain. It's nice to have a nibble at it now and again. Every day, wherever I stray, the kids all round me flock. One afternoon the band conductor up on his stand somehow lost his bat and it flew out of his hand. So I jumped in his place and then conducted the band with me little stick of black pool rock. With me little stick of black pool rock. Along the promenade I strolled. I got stuck, I could tell. Cause when I pulled it out, I pulled my shirt out as well. Every day, wherever I stray, the kids all round me flock. A girl while bathing come to me, me wits have to use. She cried, "I'm drowning," and to save me, you can't refuse. I said, "Well, if you're drowning, then I don't want to lose me little stick of black pool rock."
Thank you. Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is your turn to ruin the show. I'm going to ask Grandad Sinclair to lead you in a song, if we can sober him up. When you're smiling, so this time it is Grandad Sinclair, the full company, Harry Haywood and the entire orchestra, but chiefly yourself.
Involved with the Clitheroe Kid this week were Peter Sinclair as grandfather, Patricia Burke as mother, Danny Ross as Alfie Hall, Diana Day as Susan, Tony Melody as Mr. Higginbottom, and Brian Truman as Uncle Ben Battersby. The accompaniment was by the Harry Haywood Sextet. The recorded program, The Last in the Present Series, was written by James Casey and Frank Roscoe, produced by James Casey, and starred Jimmy Clitheroe as the kid himself.
I never knew they had it in them. Mind, I'm glad it's out. I'll tell you one thing I'm not glad about, though. This is the last programme of the series. Hope you've enjoyed it. We have. So until the next time we meet, keep on smiling. Keep on smiling. Ta-ra!